It's Bill Leth on WGN along with Julie Spira, renowned cyber dating expert. She's on Twitter at Julie Spira. That's what you want to dial up on Twitter. And then there's the website, cyberdatingexpert.com. Julie, last time you and I spoke, we established the fact that you yourself aren't just an expert when it comes to cyber dating, but you are a cyber dater. You do actually cyber date. What lesson have you learned that's been helpful to yourself? Like, what are you doing now that maybe has changed a little bit because of your experience in the world of cyber dating?
I think the most important thing is to really be comfortable in your own skin. And I think I've learned that the more authentic, genuine you are, the better response you get and the more quality people that you can attract to your life. So, you know, there was a time that I didn't want to tell the truth about my age. Every woman feels that way. It's like, oh my gosh, the wrinkle around my eyes and gee, my neck is sagging, whatever. And it's ridiculous because people are falling in love at all different ages. And I've seen couples, you know, get married at 70 who've met online. So toss away those insecurities and be really just happy about who you are and represent yourself authentically. I think the other major, major lesson, and maybe this is part of the Manti Te'o thing, and of course this is also something I've written about recently in Huffington Post, is the whole safety security thing. You know, you need to trust your intuition. And there's so much information on the internet, and people are Googling each other inside out, outside in. I know this month's Glamour magazine has an article that says, stop Googling your dates. It's getting to be an obsession that's getting to be a little too much.
Do me a favor, just in case, because it is a technology that many of us have grown up with, but for several people, the lexicon is a little bit foreign. Explain what exactly that means, that phrase, Googling your dates. What does that refer to?
So if you haven't Googled yourself, everyone, yet, go to Google.com and type in your name. And when you type in name, you can see all of the information about you on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's your college alumni page. Maybe it's you know, a party that you went to or a charity event, or maybe it has something to do with you were honored somewhere and you received an award, or you're a member of a particular organization or a meet group. Just typing in your name, if it isn't, you know, Jim Smith,
mm-hmm.
if it isn't, you know, Jane Jones, it could be very easy. It's certainly easy to type in Julie Spira or Bill F and see what you can find. So what happens is you get really excited. You find someone online that, you know, piques your curiosity. You've spoken on the phone with them, and it's suddenly you want to know everything you possibly can before your first date. So you head over to Google.com, and you type in the person's name, the city they live in, perhaps their profession. Maybe they told you what college they went to. You type in all that information so you can get this digital snapshot, and then you start reading page after page after page of information about the person before you've had a chance to meet them. And then you jump to conclusions on who you perceive this person is, and you may actually even cancel the date because you see something that seems a little off on Google.
And that can include the person's picture, because you could Google images of the person
right.
and go, uh-oh, that doesn't look like
right.
something I want. Yeah.
Right. That happened to me last week.
Oh, it did?
I'm sort of stunned. I'm stunned, yeah.
Oh, no. Wait, it happened to you meaning somebody canceled on you or you canceled on somebody?
I didn't cancel. I received a phone call. This is a really strange story. Google image search. Now, rather than just typing in your name, let's say there's a picture of you anywhere on the internet.
Yeah.
Maybe your online dating profile photo.
Yeah.
Somebody sees your photo and your screen name is I Love to Ski. So they know nothing about you other than the fact that you're a skier.
Yeah.
If they take that photo from your dating site and you think it's a private profile, and they download it to their computer, and they upload it onto Google Image Search. It's images.google.com. Poof! There it is. Name. Even your address sometimes.
Wow.
Even your phone number.
That's a little much.
It's huge. And this is something that's happening more and more. I understand the benefit. If you want to feel safe, especially if you want to feel safe and they want to know somebody is who they say they are. But on the other hand, if you start to get a lot of information about someone and then you call them and you say, hey, I read this about you, I read that about you. Gee, I just found out that, you know, your favorite sport is here, and here's your ex-husband's name, and here's where you get your mail. It's creepy.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It's creepy.
Wow.
It's becoming what I call the cyber sleuth.
So when Glamour magazine comes out and they say, point blank, stop Googling your dates, what does that refer to? Are they just saying you're going to know too much about this person and that's not in your best interest?
Right. They say that you're going to know too much about this person by Googling your dates in advance. And when you know too much about a person, you have this false sense of security that I know this person. I know them well. It's almost as if you're in a relationship yet already because you've met and things accelerate fast. And not only accelerate fast, people end up having sex quicker because they spend all this time investigating somebody and they feel like they know them.
See, that's one of the things I was going to ask you is, for years and years and years, the first date or the first series of dates, the first couple of dates were really spent, you were at ground zero. You were learning everything you could about that person while on the date. But now, because of the internet, you know so much about them prior to the date. What is a first date like now?
A first date is interesting because you already had the pre-date. You've chit-chatted on the phone. You've sent a bunch of emails and texts to each other. By the time you get a first date, it's not like the dating world was years ago. You don't start the chemistry on date one. The digital chemistry kicks into place the moment you start writing back and forth online.
So all that, the courtship that used to be there, the old way of doing it, you sit down and you say, what do you like about this? Have you ever done this? What's the best thing about this? That's all been done. That's already happened. So it throws everything out of whack to some extent, doesn't it, Julie?
It really does. And it's interesting because in a recent Match.com study, they said 49% of women would cancel a first date because of something they found out about them online. So people are either canceling dates or, on the complete opposite, they have this sort of digital chemistry. They go into this instant relationship mode, and they take away that old-fashioned courtship. And I actually love the old-fashioned courtship.
Yeah, of course. I just want to follow up just a little bit on the idea of Googling your dates and how it could potentially backfire. As you've pointed out, it speeds up the process. If you've Googled your date, you already know all kinds of things about him or her prior to the date, and everything's kind of on the fast track. You've mentioned that one of the things about this is that a couple will tend to have sex earlier just because they've already hit some sort of a spark online. My question is, do you see these relationships fading faster because it's on such an accelerated path? Do they tend to break up quicker as a result of all this?
Some do. I mean, relationships move at a much more rapid pace. That means jumping in and jumping out. And the reason they might end is because there's sort of this feeling like, well, I'm in a comparison shopper, and and maybe the next person that shows up in my shopping cart or in my inbox from my favorite dating site is going to be smarter, cuter, richer, prettier, you name it. So there's too many options sometimes. And as a result, people that really get a little bit addicted to online dating, they think there's always a better option around the corner the moment they have a bump on the road.
You can get addicted to online dating, right? There's no doubt about it. There are certain people who are just susceptible to it, and they become addicted, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you can become addicted to online dating, just like you can be addicted to playing games on your computer, Words with Friends, or Solitaire on your iPhone.
Yep. Wow. Are all the dating sites that are out there right now, are they all kind of using the same basic blueprint, or do some vary from others?
You know, they all really vary. It's almost like you've got 64 colors of crayons in the Crayola crayon box, and we have several thousand internet dating sites for people to select from. So as a result, a serious online dater is going to join more than one site. And often one site will have what we call the algorithm. That's the big buzzword. And it's a matching system where they will match you with potential dates based upon you answering hundreds and hundreds of questions. Whereas other sites, you know, eHarmony does not allow you to search. They basically take the questions that you've answered, and they have their sort of special, you know, way of sending you their matches. Other sites allow you to search. So there are a variety of ways. So everybody's trying to say we have magic secret sauce and we have formula. I don't know that there is any magic formula. So much has to do with timing.
Don't they just throw them in a computer, and if your answers match 65% on somebody else's, they throw you together? It's not like a yenta from the old days matching a guy and a girl together, is it, or is it?
Well, I know. I think a lot of these algorithms are patented, and they don't want us to know exactly how they do what they do. And at the end of the day, you need to take your relationship from online to offline and meet someone in person and see if there's any kind of chemistry.
Have you ever heard, though, has there ever been a couple, to your knowledge, whose relationship had lasted online for years and years and years, and they've never met, and there's never a chance they're going to meet, and he's okay with it, and she's okay with it, and that's just the way it is?
That's sort of the concept behind catfish. There are so many couples that meet online, and they never have any intention of taking their relationship offline. Perhaps they're just looking for a pen pal, or they're lonely. Maybe they're married or in a relationship. So there are people that are not taking their relationships offline. They, for whatever reason, they are not relationship material. If you can't find someone to meet you in the flesh, move on, delete them, block their profile.
Mm.